1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church there at Corinth, says, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You're honorable, but we are despised." Now, verse 10 says, we are fools for Christ's sake. And so I want to pose the question today on April Fool's Day is, whose fool are you? What I find is that everybody is somebody's fool. And the Bible identifies several different fools in the Bible. There are several different fools identified in the Bible. But Paul says, in relation to his standing among those that he was preaching to, he said, we are fools for Christ's sake. Now, why did he make a statement like that? Well, because what Paul was doing was considered foolishness. And so it is today, not only in the religious world, but in the secular world, the world in general. Most of the things about religion, most of the things about beliefs and so forth, are considered foolish. They're considered, and people that are involved in it are considered to be fools. I pulled up a little article on April Fool's Day, where the origin was, and what I found out is that nobody really knows. But it's interesting that some of the suggested, or one of the suggested origins, says that ancient cultures, including those of the Romans and Hindus, celebrated New Year's Day on or around April 1st. And you remember that that's when the Jewish calendar started. That was April was the first month of the year. 14th day, the day of Passover, and so forth. Says it closely follows the vernal equinox. In medieval times, much of Europe celebrated March 25, the Feast of Annunciation, as the beginning of the new year. In 1582, Pope Gregory the VIII ordered a new calendar called the Gregorian calendar to replace the old Julian calendar. The new calendar called for New Year's Day to be celebrated January 1. That year, France adopted the reformed calendar and shifted New Year's Day to January 1. According to a popular explanation, many people either refused to accept the new date or did not learn about it and continued to celebrate New Year's Day on April 1st. Thus, they were considered fools for celebrating New Year's on the wrong day. Now, as I said, there's other suggestions about where the day came from, and what it's really turned into is a day of practical jokes and that kind of thing. But it interested me that in thinking about this thing about fools, all that the Bible has to say about the subject, and particularly that our apostle would say, we are fools for Christ's sake. Now, as we get further in the message, we'll look at specifically why Paul said that. But I want to mention to you this morning, as I said a moment ago, that everybody is somebody's fool. And you're either a fool for Christ's sake or a fool for something else. And in the Bible, there are several fools identified. Go back to Psalms chapter 14. Psalms chapter 14. In Psalms 14, one of the most familiar verses, probably in the Bible, in relation to fools, is Psalms 14. Verse 1, most people could quote this, "The fool has said in his heart," what? "There is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." Then there is the fool of atheism, the fool of not believing that there is a God. Most of these people believe in evolution. They believe that the world just somehow happened and that man evolved from a little speck or a cell that began to divide and develop and so forth. But the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, you can, when you hear these kind of things, and when you are confronted with these, you have to make a decision. Are you going to believe the Bible means what it says? Are you going to believe humanism, secularism, science, or whatever, so-called, as Paul said when he talked about science? He referred to it as science so-called. And we have a biblical account of how we came about. The Bible says those that don't believe there's a God are fools. I didn't make that up. I'm not calling people fools. But the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So there's the fool of atheism, the fool that says there is no God. And you see, that way, man, in one swift move there, just does away with all responsibility, with God authority, and so forth. And that particular position is one that leads to damnation, obviously, because apart from God and God's Son, Jesus Christ, there is no hope of eternal life. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So there are the fools of atheism. Then there are the fools of self-righteousness. Look in Proverbs chapter 12. In Proverbs chapter 12, in Proverbs 12, in verse 15, notice what it says there about the fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Well, how many people do you think that would fit in the world today? I mean, doesn't everybody think that they're right? I mean, we think we're right. Everybody, you know, in religion thinks they're right. Those that don't believe anything think they're right. Well, you know what that attitude is? That's the attitude of a fool. Say, well, shouldn't you believe that you're right? Yes, but more importantly, you ought to believe that the Word of God is right. And when the Word of God conflicts with what you believe, when the Word of God conflicts with what I believe, then I'm a fool if I believe I'm right contrary to the Word of God. Somebody was telling me this week about a situation where a man at a Bible conference asked a preacher a question, and the preacher went to great lengths, took Scripture, and showed the answer. And afterwards, that young man said, well, I still believe he's wrong. Well, it's not an issue of whether he's wrong, not an issue of whether I'm wrong. Is the Word of God right? And when we read and study the Bible, as God instructed us to read and study the Bible, particularly in rightly dividing the Word of truth, we need to understand that the person that is right in their own eyes is considered a fool. And many, many people fall into that, and it's very possible, it's very easy for us to fall into that particular position. Don't ever accept something as truth because of the person that believes it. Believe it's truth because they can show it out of the Scriptures, out of the Word of God. And you, when you hear something taught, when you hear something that sounds something new, sort of new or different, then try it, prove it by the Scriptures. But don't be so wrapped up in tradition and so wrapped up in what has been the traditional teaching that you assume that mom and daddy were right and mom and daddy before them were right and you're right because you believe what they believe. No, keep an open mind. Look at things from the perspective of God's Word and what He has to say. In other words, there's a large, I mentioned a moment ago about the world of atheism. Well, there are many people that believe in God, say they do, and yet they don't believe much of the Bible account. As a matter of fact, when Paul says we're fools for Christ's sake, there are several things that Christian people believe. And when I say Christian people, I'm not just being exclusive to us or that kind of thing. I'm talking about in religion in general. People that are saved in all the different denominations believe that the world counts as foolishness. Like the idea that Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is a real account of something that happened. There's a large, large majority of religious teaching that says that Genesis 1 through 10 is a fable. It's not true. It's not real. Well, are you going to take what God says? Or are you going to take what some man says about what God says? You see, folks, it's becoming harder and harder to get people to believe that the book is the Word of God and that it means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. It's just not as popular as it used to be a Bible believer. And so people that are Bible believers are considered to be a fool. Fools for Christ's sake. So there's the fool of self-rightness, I guess you could call it. I said self-righteousness, but it's all one and the same. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Then there is Proverbs chapter 26. Look in Proverbs 26. Another fool that's identified is in Proverbs 26. Again, this is sort of in context to God and as creator of all things. In Proverbs 26, verse 10, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Well, in the context, the folly there would be unbelief. God, He formed all things. And that same God that formed all... You see, people always kind of amaze me when a man stands up and gets on TV or whatever and he says, well, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe in a supreme being. Well, folks, that don't change anything. God's not sitting up there wringing His hands because somebody don't believe in it. He gave us some proof. He gave us a book. He gave us some instruction. He gave us the Word. And so there's the fool of folly. And then in Proverbs 28, one that probably is most prominent, is Proverbs 28 in verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now you know who I'm trusting in. And there ain't no doubt about it. I hang my hat on that verse for a long time. Verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Well now, how many times have you ever heard somebody say, in my heart of hearts, I just believe this to be right? Well, let me tell you something. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, the Bible says. You see, all this stuff about let your conscience be your guide, follow your heart, all that kind of stuff is just another form of humanism, elevating man to godhood. Sometimes the worst thing in the world you can do is to follow your heart. Because what does the Bible say about the heart? The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, and who can know it? So why would you follow your heart when the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool? You see, the contrast is to he that trusteth in the Lord is a man of wisdom. He's wise. But he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You can't let your conscience be your guide. You know what the Bible says about your conscience? The Bible says it can be seared with a hot iron. So that you would do things that and never feel one thing about them. You see, folks, man is sinful to the very core. He is born in sin, and man does not become a sinner when he commits his first sin. Man is not a thief, or man doesn't become a sinner when he steals something. He stole something because he's a sinner. We're born in sin. Look over in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Here's why you can't. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Talking about Jew and Gentile. No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, you know, to people that don't believe the Bible, people that are not saved, that is really an indictment to them and their pride. Because most of mankind thinks that they are good. I've mentioned to you before, when I worked in the secular world, when I worked at Blue Cross, we had a department there called HR, Human Resources. Before that, it was personnel, you know. But at any rate, I would go to these seminars because I was in management. You had to learn how to deal with your employees. And time and again, I heard, you must understand and realize there are no bad people. There's just bad performance. And I'd start to say something. My secretary would be sitting there, and she'd just elbow me and say, shut up. Don't start nothing. And one time I said, you know why there is bad performance? And the lady said, why? I said, because there are bad people. Oh, Mr. Atwood, you've got to understand there's good. I mean, just a bunch of foolishness. Foolishness. Fools. You know where all that comes from? That comes from the idea of elevating mankind. You see, any time you hear a statement that is directly contrary to the Word of God, you know what you can count that? Foolishness. Foolishness. If it's contrary to God's Word, if it's contrary to what the Bible says, it's simply foolishness. Well, what does the Bible say? They're all gone out of the way. They're together unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I know we don't like to hear that. But you see, Paul is talking about the very nature of man. Now, we know that Paul tells us some good works that we're to perform and so forth. Where is workmanship? Created in Christ Jesus and all good works. But Paul here is speaking about the very nature of mankind. The heart that is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. That's why you can't trust in your own heart. That's why the Bible says he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Now, I want you to think about this. The Apostle Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 4, we are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You see, he didn't say we're fools in Christ. He said we are fools for Christ's sake. In other words, he was counted among those people that he preached to, that he associated with and so forth, as a fool. I already mentioned to you that there are several reasons today that Christian people are considered fools. Number one, because they believe they have a book that is actually God's Word that has been preserved and so forth. There are those that believe people are fools because of the gospel that they preach. They believe it's absolutely foolishness to teach that a man can be saved apart from doing something in his flesh. Is that's what really narrows it down to. In the world today, in religious world, you can really separate into two groups. I mean, there's hundreds of denominations out there. But it all comes down to really two groups. You've got one group that believes that salvation is a free gift by the grace of God without any works, and that you can't lose it. And then you've got another group that believe that you can lose your salvation, and therefore, you have to do certain things to either obtain it or retain it. And you see, the person that teaches that you can lose your salvation many times does so because they don't understand the Word of God rightly divided and the distinctiveness in Paul's gospel and the gospel of the kingdom and the law and so forth. Heard a man preaching on radio this morning. And I had been on just shortly before he came on. And he made the statement, he said, this guy is on live, and he said, some of these preachers want to talk about Paul and Paul and the grace of Paul given to Paul. He said, well, everybody's saved by grace. And I thought, I wish he would turn over to Matthew 19:1 and read the whole chapter where Jesus is asked the question, what must I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. Now, granted, I have always said and will always say that there has never been a time when salvation didn't include God's grace, including Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But I want to tell you something, folks. I believe this Bible enough to believe that if Noah didn't build an ark, he'd have drowned. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. People, their grace might have always been involved, but there was never a time when salvation was by grace through faith alone until the revelation of the mystery, the gospel committed unto Paul. And therefore, there's the confusion about that. And people that teach that and preach that are considered fools, not only by the world in general, but much of the religious world. Because most of the religious world wants to say that you've got to do something. So there's the grace-based salvation and there's the works-based salvation. And that's where the really dividing line is. And we need to understand that if we're going to take a stand for our salvation by grace, most of the world is going to consider you a fool. You know what they're going to say? Well, that's just stupid. That's just too simple. Only a fool would believe that. Well, we're fools for Christ's sake. Notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Well then, come on, what is it? It's foolishness to the lost world out there. Who is it foolishness to? Those that perish. Those that are believing some other gospel. Like Mark mentioned this morning, another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. Those that are embracing those things, they consider the preaching of the cross to be foolishness. Oh, they don't mind talking about the historical event. I mean, next weekend, the whole religious world will celebrate the historical event of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But it's one thing to celebrate the historical event and to understand what took place there. You understand, when Christ died, the Bible says He died for our sins, according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He was raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You understand that the preaching of the cross includes the fact that in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says, God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Colossians 2:13 says that He has forgiven you all trespasses. Every one of them. Now, when you think about those four or five verses that I just mentioned to you, how foolish is it for people to believe that your sin is the issue? How foolish is it to believe that somehow you've got to do something to obtain salvation when the Bible says directly contrary to that? Now, I can go to parts of the Bible, like I mentioned Matthew, and I can find where some works were involved, like selling what you had and keeping the commandments. I can go to Acts 2:38 and find repentance and water baptism. But come on, the Apostle Paul said, I am the Apostle of the Gentiles. He said, unto me was committed the dispensation of the grace of God. He said, the gospel that I preach is the gospel of the grace of God. And Jesus told His disciples, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. There's a difference, folks. And those that believe the word rightly divided, those that believe salvation by grace through faith, apart from any work whatsoever, in general, all of those people are considered fools because it goes against the very grain of man not to want to do something for his own salvation. Man wants to perform. That's why churches that preach and teach the law are so successful. Because it feeds the pride. It feeds the ego of individuals. When you tell them, if you'll do thus and so, then God will save you. God will bless you. I mean, how many times have you heard people say, talk about God's blessings on them because of their obedience and so forth? Well, you know where they got that? They got that under the law principle. Well, let me tell you something. You can meet a person that is suffering, broke, without a job, hungry, sick, perhaps even at the point of death. And if that person's saved, they've got every spiritual blessing that you have or anybody else has, whether he be a king or the winner of the lottery this past Friday night that everybody wanted to be part of, except me. I didn't buy a ticket, but I was just trusting that somebody here would. And there's a girl up there in Kentucky. She said, well, I've got my lottery ticket. She said, I just can't wait for the drawing. And somebody else said, well, what are you going to do with it? And I said, tithe. Right under her post, I said, tithe. In this instance, we'll make an exception. Come on, folks. Our position in Christ is a spiritual position, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul talks about the riches of his grace. And yet the religious world in general, they want to evaluate God's blessings on the material, on the physical. And they consider people that don't believe that to be fools. Let's read on verse 18 again. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto which are saved, it is the power of God. You see, that's where the power is. It's in the preaching. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now notice verse 19. For it is written, where is it written? Isaiah 29:14, but we won't turn there. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? In other words, God looks down at man and man's got all of his theories and all of his speculation about who created this and how this came about and how that happened and everything. And you know what? God's just sitting up there laughing at that foolishness. It's just foolishness. He said, where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Where hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after than the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what those verses are saying? Those verses are saying that there was a time when man thought that he could somehow obtain or reach to God by his knowledge, by his understanding. And it didn't work. And so he said, for after that, in the wisdom of man, the world by wisdom knew God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? Not that become educated, not that increase in wisdom, them that believe. For the Jews require sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. God, at his very lowest point, which there isn't one, I don't guess, but the scripture says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now here's the reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, if you believe this Bible means what it says, most of the world is going to consider you a fool. If you believe that salvation is simply a free gift, if you believe the gospel, the grace of God, people are going to consider you a fool. If you believe that you ought to follow a specific apostle, people are going to make fun of that, call you a Paul follower and all that kind of stuff. They're going to consider you a fool. If you believe that there's going to be a day when God is going to catch us away from this earth, people are going to really call you a fool, because you believe in a rapture. The word's not in the Bible, so how could it be? If you believe that you have eternal life and you're going to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be those that's going to believe you're a fool. That's what Paul's addressing in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection. If you believe there's going to be a time when people are going to have a bodily resurrection, you're going to be considered a fool. If you believe that you ought to live a life according to the Word of God, holy, righteous, soberly, in this present evil world, people are going to consider you a fool. Well, how stupid. You ought to live and let live and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The fool trusteth in himself. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, notice in verse 8, Paul said, now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Why? We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. Now, I just kind of get the feeling that the Apostle Paul has been a little bit sarcastic here, based on what we've already read in Corinthians. I mean, if you go back to chapter 3 and verse 1, notice what he says. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Does that sound like wise men? Doesn't, does it? Well, Paul says, notice how he kind of like a dig there. He said, we're fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. We're weak, but you're strong. You're honorable, but we're despised. Even under this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved brethren, as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, you know, the resume that Paul just laid out there is not really conducive to being followed. I mean, think about what he said. He said, we hunger, we thirst, we're naked, we're buffeted, we have to work with our own hands, we've been reviled, we've been persecuted, we suffer it, we've been defamed, we're made as the filth of the world, be ye followers of me. Not the kind of person you really want to follow, is it? Not in the flesh. He said, you may have 10,000 instructors, but you only have one father. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. That's the gospel of the grace of God that the Apostle Paul preached there in Corinth, Acts chapter 18. And he wrote back and he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. You see, there's no doubt that these people at Corinth were a proud people. And Paul says, we, the apostles of Christ, are the filth of the earth. We're fools for Christ's sake. There's no time in life, I mentioned this, I think it was in Gunnersville. It's my belief that the lowest point a person ever is in their life is the moment before they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because I believe that's the point where a person realizes that they are a sinner. They have no hope apart from what Jesus Christ did. And they have to come to a place of totally giving up on their flesh. And saying in their heart and their mind, I can't do this. I can't be good enough. I can't do enough to appease the wrath of God. I'm just going to have to trust in what Jesus Christ did for me at Calvary. Become a fool for Christ's sake. The preaching of the cross, this isn't it perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Listen, folks, you'd be far better off to be a fool for Christ's sake than to be a fool and reject what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to trust Him. You need to just put your faith and trust in what He did at Calvary and accept the free gift of salvation. Accept the wisdom of God as opposed to the wisdom of men. Man says it can't be that easy. Paul says, I fear lest your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel. Man says, it's got to be something I've got to do. Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man says, well, I think I can do it. Paul says, oh no. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing your trespasses. You see, the truth is, the fool for Christ's sake is the person that is really wise. The man that has built his house upon the foundation of the truth of the Word of God and accepted the marvelous gift of grace, marvelous gift of salvation through the grace of God. If you've never done that, trust Jesus Christ this morning. You know how to get up and go anywhere, do anything. Maybe you're listening on Justin TV. Maybe you're listening later to a CD or something. But this message is to you because you're trusting in what you did. Don't be a fool. Be a fool for Christ's sake. Would you stand me for prayer?